I'm going to leave it on. Morning.
Morning.
I'm excited this morning. I've been preparing and cooking all kinds of things in my spirit. I have noticed that in preparation, one of the things the Lord has been showing me the last month is that for me, preparing for a morning where I share is a lot like going to the grocery store. And you pick this ingredient, and you pick that ingredient, and you pick that ingredient, and you get a meat, and you get some kind of a green, and you get some kind of dessert. And then you put it in the pantry. And then when you walk up on Sunday morning to deliver the word, then you say, okay, Lord, what do you want to make today? We've got a little bit of everything in the pantry. What is it you want to cook up? What kind of appetizer do you want? What kind of salad, main dish, and dessert? And so you get to stand up here, and he just kind of reaches in and pulls things off the shelf and mixes them up and throws them together. So I'm not sure what we're having, but we're going to have something good. And for our entree this morning, for our appetizer, I had a little birdie tell me that Wanda and Tim had a really cool experience this morning. I love this deer caught in headlights look. I understand you guys are out on a boat.
Well, we were.
You can hold it. Just put it right there.
Here.
You tell.
Well, I'm a marine mechanic, and I do a lot of old antiques, antique myself, and we get together every other month at different parts in the East Coast, and one of my dear friends, was talking to him, and then 2 days later, he had a massive stroke, and I didn't find out until the next meeting, and
I have to tell you from here. So at the next meeting, we have our business meeting right before we eat. And Tim says, after the meeting, he says, I know this isn't politically correct, but he says, I feel like we need to pray for our friend Tom. And so whoever would like to pray with us, we're going to meet in the kitchen. And so we're expecting 5 people, you know. Well, lo and behold, we get ready to have this prayer, and there's like 25 people there. I strung out into the other room, and we're all joined hands, and they have me lead them in prayer. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, God, what do you want me to say here? And so I said, Lord, and I just prayed from my heart. I said, Lord, this is what we want. I said, our friend Tom Parks is in a very bad way. And at the time we prayed for him, they didn't expect him to live, let alone ever go through rehab and ever be able to get better. And I said, Father, I says, you know Tom, and you know what's wrong with him, and you can heal him. And Father, I ask you to just heal him as a witness for these people that are here that are agreeing with me in prayer. And I said a real simple prayer, and we opened our eyes, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place. So then we found out the results.
You can do this
part. You can do that part.
Well, he got out of critical care. He could talk. Mm. He got out of the rehab, and now he's home.
Oh, that sounds like a miraculous answer to prayer. Thank you. That sets up where we're going so well. I love how the Lord does that. You were just minding your own business. All of a sudden, the voice of the Lord says, why don't you get some people together and pray? And you pay attention, and you go in, and lo and behold, the Lord touches a bunch of people who are listening to prayer, just natural conversation with the Lord. This is our need. This is what we're hoping for. And they get to see the evidence of the answer to that prayer. And you now have an opening with every one of the people that were in that room, not to mention the gentleman who got healed. I love the way the Lord does that. I have been trying very, very diligently to try to follow the stream, the flow of where Pastor Lanny has been taking us these last months. And One of the ways I've been doing that is actually going back and listening to his messages from January on and taking a look at some of the notes that he's had from January on, trying to follow the little curves and bends of the stream as they touch my spirit. And one of the phrases that he used that caught my attention, and I want to quote it, is, "Personal disciplines are like steps along the pathway to spiritual transformation. You never know at which step you may encounter God, but your personal disciplines place you in the path of God's transforming power. Each encounter affords the opportunity for personal growth towards spiritual transformation." It is the Holy Spirit's job to empower changes in each one of us. That part's not our job. Our part is simply to put ourselves in a place where he can get our attention, where he can talk to us. It's our responsibility to cooperate with whatever it is he is doing and then let him provide the empowerment for the change that goes on within us. The scripture that we have been coming back to repeatedly for the last months is one of those scriptures that's like an onion that you peel layer by layer, and it's the Romans 12, 1 and 2. In the Amplified Bible, it reads, "I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God." The NIV says, "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." The word transformed catches my imagination because it has so many different meanings tucked away and hidden inside of it. When you look at the original language, it has the idea of being changed in composition or structure into something new entirely, like a caterpillar that goes into the cocoon and comes out a beautiful creature. Something that is the same species, but totally different when it's finished. It's also a change of the outward form or appearance, as in your countenance, your body language, and even sometimes in healing. One of the things that I find absolutely fascinating about people is that once the Spirit of God begins to cook inside someone and begins to perform changes in them, I don't care what they actually looked like before, they become beautiful because something happens in us as we're changing. The scripture says from glory to glory or from splendor to splendor, and we begin to have an inner glow that reflects him. And when you look at that person, they're beautiful because of what is going on inside of them. And these are the changes that the Lord desires and craves to make in us. There's a change in character or condition, like a convert, as in our thoughts and in our actions. And it also means to cause or undergo a genetic transformation, like a DNA change. That's one of the phrases that Pastor Lanny likes to use, is our DNA, who we are on the inside from the inside out. And the Lord is actually looking to change our soulish DNA into a spiritual DNA so that there's actually a change at the very most basic level on the inside of us. Philippians 3, chapter 21 says, "Who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself?" Well, the answer obviously is he will. His Holy Spirit will. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured, transformed into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This describes the very process that we are hoping to put ourselves in the way of. And when Pastor Lanny talks about the path, personal disciplines are like steps along the pathway to spiritual transformation. That is the phrase that really grabbed my imagination, because I believe that what the Holy Spirit really wants to perform is that total swan transformation. Not just where you go in and you get your teeth done and you get your nose fixed and you get your cheeks implanted and you get your chin firmed up and you get the whole works done, but the complete swan makeover where it's like at the cell level out. And if there's a path where I can put myself on that puts me in the middle of that so that the Holy Spirit can run into me, that's the path I want to be on. And that's the path I believe the Lord calls us to be on. And so we're going to pursue the path today. Where's the path? What does it look like? And how can I get in the middle of it? And as we're moving in that direction, I want to take one quick little side road. And it has to do with relationship with God. And what does that look like? And what does that feel like? And the reason I want to take this little side path is because I've had several conversations in recent months with people who I would consider to be mature Christians, who have been around for a while, who have been with the Lord for a while. And in those conversations, there were some interesting things that bubbled out, and it was they weren't sure if they were doing it right. I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, when I listen to so-and-so talk about their relationship with the Lord, the thing that they're describing sounds like, you know, that feeling that you have when you're very first in love, that tingly thing that happens in the pit of your stomach, and every time you see the person, everything just leaps. And you get the turmoil in your stomach and you know, your skin is tingling and you're just in love." And sometimes when we listen to other people describe a relationship with the Lord, that's what it sounds like they're describing. Like they do that all the time. Like that's where they live. That like when they get up in the morning, they jump into that tingly in love feeling from the moment they get up till the moment they go to bed. And I think because we have to use words to describe what's going on inside of us, it's difficult for us to speak in such a way that another person can see and feel what we see and feel. And what I want to do is bring us back down to a level of realism. Nobody lives there all the time. Nobody. I don't care how mature they are or how good they look on the outside. Nobody lives there all the time. When we're blessed, we get to visit there. But here's the thing. Everybody is different. Some people are more bubbly than other people. Some people are more emotional than other people. Some people in their natural response to life get the giddies, and others are calm and quiet and staid, and that's who they are. And we need to remember that that's how God created us. We've got this extreme, and we've got this extreme, and then we've got everything in between. And every one of us is as individual as our thumbprints. I am the only one in the world that's put together like this. And when I relate to the Lord in relationship, I'm the only one that relates to Him like that. And so I just want to remind us that who we are is who we were made. And the Lord wants to meet us there, whatever that looks like and feels like. And we cannot compare our experience in relationship to someone else's experience in relationship. The only thing that we can do is to be faithful to put ourselves in the path so that we are in the way of whatever it is He wants to be doing in us and however we will respond to that personally. So having said that, let's now go look at the path. I wrote the question, where is the path and why do we sometimes miss it? This was a fun message for me to prepare because I had to do a lot of just thinking, ruminating, self-examination. And one of the things that happened in me as I was preparing was I realized how easy it is to miss the path. Not because the path is hard to find. The path is really easy to find. The problem is sometimes we're not aware of the path. And what happens is that we allow someone else to run the course of our thoughts during the day. We let someone else determine the direction of our thoughts. We turn over the free will of our minds. And we never allow ourselves to be surrounded in silence. How many of you build a quiet time into your day? Just a show of hands. Okay. What does that quiet time look like for you? Yeah, what does it look like? What do you do? What's the mechanics of it? Sit in the car and turn everything off and just chill. What does yours look like, Carrie? Oh, that's interesting. The car. How many of you do the car thing? Yeah, the car is such an interesting thing because the car is my thing too. So many of us always surround ourselves with friendly noise. We have the CD going, we have the radio station going, we have a DVD on, we have the internet, and we very seldom are just in the quiet. And the thing about that is, whenever there's something else running, it is the driver, and you're in the passenger seat. And like being in the car with someone else driving, wherever they go, that's where you go. Whatever they're saying, that's where your mind goes. If you're listening to music, that's where it goes. You know, an interesting thing I learned about music, I guess this was a couple of years ago now, I was driving somewhere that was of duration, maybe 45 minutes, and I was cruising on my radio in the car, just going from song to song that I liked, you know, just cruising, oh, I like that one, and I stopped. And I noticed that in the course of this car ride, I had a country western, somebody done somebody wrong song. And then I went to there, from there to a really soulish blues crooner, you know, where you're howling in the car with the radio. And then I went from that to a worship song that I loved. And I got on that one and I went. And then I went to another somebody done somebody wrong song and I was weeping. I went on this emotional roller coaster that was like, yes! Oh, my gosh. I rode the wave. And at the end of that ride, I thought, oh, my goodness. What did I just do? What kind of a ride did I just put myself on? And I had one of those moments of epiphany. Don't let somebody else drive your emotions around the block by just sitting in the driver's seat and going for the ride. The interesting thing about myself that I discovered is that I grew up in an environment of friendly noise. From the moment I woke up in the morning, there was a radio program going in my parents' room, which is what they woke up to. When I walked into the kitchen, there was a different radio program on, a talk radio of some sort going in the kitchen. When I went out to the den, the news was on. And in my brother's room, he had a radio on of some completely different type of music. And from the moment I got up in the morning till the moment I went to bed at night, I was surrounded by friendly noise. The only moment of quiet in my entire day was that few minutes when I put my head down on the pillow between there and sleep. And that was it. And interestingly enough, that was when the Lord would always talk to me, in that little few minutes. It wasn't for years before I realized this, because the only time things were quiet enough for me to hear him saying anything to me. And because of that experience as a child, I love friendly noise. I like to have it on. I like to have it going in the background. And it wasn't until the Lord pointed out to me, you know, you can't let somebody else drive all the time. You have to have moments in your day, in your life, where the only noise that's going on is something between you and Him. And if you think you're not hooked on friendly noise, the next time you get in the car to go somewhere by yourself, don't put anything on. Let it be totally quiet in the Lord. And see what your physical, soulish response to that is. It's an interesting response. The first time I did it, I had what was akin to a feeling of fear. It's quiet in here. I don't like it. Why don't I like it, Lord? Why is this quiet so intimidating to me? And you know, interestingly enough, in the quiet, He spoke to me. He said, well, it's because you're taking responsibility for your own thoughts. I didn't want the responsibility. I wanted it to be someone else's responsibility, what I was thinking and where I was going. And I would pick which driver I wanted, but they were still driving. But when you give Him the opportunity with some quiet, wherever that is, I think in our society, it does most happen in the car. If you're driving to work, driving home from work, maybe in between dropping a kid off at this event or that event. But it's one of the few places in our world where we have quiet, unless you have an opportunity to build it in your day at home. We do this so we don't have to be responsible for our thoughts. We do it also because it's in those moments of time where the Lord will speak to us about the important events in our lives. And sometimes we're not ready to talk to Him about things. I mean, I know I have had seasons of that where as soon as it was quiet, He would begin to talk to me about something. He had an agenda, and I didn't want to hear His agenda. And so I would silence the agenda. But when we give Him opportunity by putting ourselves in the path, He comes in His gentle, gracious way and helps us move forward gently. And the key is, He's never like the way we imagine He's going to be. He never comes in power and force and batters us to death with it. You know, if that's your experience, that's not the Lord. He's always gentle. He's always a gentleman. He's always gracious. He says, come, let's talk about some things. Let's think about what we might do here. Why don't you try this one thing? We're the ones who heap onto it more and more and more rules and make it just overwhelming. Personal disciplines are like steps along the pathway to spiritual transformation. I actually think we are making this harder than it has to be. Have you ever thought that certain mature Christians experience a constant, continual, powerful connection with the Holy Spirit in that they feel totally connected all the time? Have you ever wondered, why can't I do that? Oh, I know I have. Can I borrow you for a minute? Okay, we're going to start down here. We're going to imagine that we are on a road. It's like a highway, except it's for people. And we have lanes. This is my lane, and that is your lane. And we're walking on the road. And my typical habits in the past would be to have a book running in my head or a music running in my head or my list running through my head, whatever I'm supposed to be doing. And I have absolutely no knowledge that He's right there in the lane beside me. However, the thing about the Lord is, sometimes it's just a matter of shifting your gaze. And as you're walking in your lane, you take out your earplugs, you put your head up, and you look around. Oh, and there He is. and you just grab the arm, and what you have is not some emotionally wildly overwhelming feeling of love, but, hey, it's my good friend. Hey, I didn't expect to run into you here. It's just a simple shift of focus. And it's so easy to do. It's not hard. If you've got the wrong driver on in your car, simply switch to a driver that takes you to the focus that you want. Maybe for you that's the right CD or the right radio station or whatever it is. But those Christian giants that we think of, I'll tell you a secret. What they do is they have little things that they do throughout the day that changes their focus and puts them in the path where they have the opportunity to bump into the activity of God that's going on around them. And they go, oh, my friend's had a massive stroke. I think we should pray. Let's all get in a room and let's pray. I don't care if you're a believer or not. We can pray. Anybody wants to, come on. And so they go into a room. And suddenly, God is touching 25 people through your one simple act of cooperation with the activity of God. It's so simple. We need to keep the simple things simple. So how does that actually work in my daily life? We really need to take a close look at our natural body rhythms. Like Beth, are you a morning person, an evening person, or a midday person? Evening. So when you come alive and your brain starts cooking and you're actually able to think and concentrate, it's the evening. Is that correct? Morning person, evening person?
Evening.
Evening person, really. So in the morning would not be the best time for you to get up and pull out a Bible study and try to have 30 minutes of quality time with God. That wouldn't work for you. Morning person, evening person? Evening. Wow, we have how many evening people? Okay, I am a morning person. Or actually, to be specific, I'm a 10 o'clock person. 10 o'clock is my time. That's my minute. You know? But by the time I get home from work in the afternoon, there is nothing happening here. Nothing. I am not going to pull out a book that's complicated and find God. I will find sleep. So we have to take this into account. We have to be realistic, people. You got to work with who you really are and don't try to change it into somebody else that you know that you admire who gets up every morning at 5:30 and has their quiet time with God. Because if you're not a morning person, it's not going to work for you. You're going to hate it. And here's a key when it comes to personal disciplines. If you don't find joy in it, you won't do it. You might do it for a week. What am I bumping? Bumping something here. You might do it for a month, but you're not going to do it year after year. So cooperate with yourself. Don't fight the flow. Do you have a 50-hour work week? Do you have 3 children at home? Are you a single mom with 3 children that you're raising all on your own? Are you a single parent with teenagers? Oh, my. Check your sanity at the door. Here's the deal. The Lord is aware of the season of your life. He knows what's going on in your life right now. And He knows your availability. And He's willing to work with that. If you have a window of opportunity that has to do with 30 short minutes in the evening where you have just those moments of sanity to be with Him, He will work with that. And he's not going to rain down guilt and condemnation on you for it. So the key is, talk to him. Ask him, where can we fit this where it's going to work for me long term? And then remember that when you're there in it, you might not look like Pastor Lanny when he's having a time with the Lord. You might not look like Pete Romano when you're having your time with the Lord. You might be crying and weeping, or you might just be sitting there basking in the warm glow of a good friend. And for me, most of the time, intimate encounters with the Lord happen in a very calm, quiet way. It's like we've been married for 30 years. We have this warm glow thing going. It's just good buds. He knows the absolute worst about me there is to know, and he loves me anyway. I don't get that sometimes. But, you know, he lives with the thoughts that I have. He knows what they are. And he loves me anyway. And he's willing to meet me there and work with me there. And when we do it, it looks like Maryland covered God or God covered Maryland, you know? And so it'll be different for you. Practical and simple ideas for putting yourself in the middle of the path. These are some to throw out, but you have to find the ones that work for you. Make your decisions about your drive before you get in the car. How many of you drive to work on a regular basis? So you're in the car. Are most of you alone when you drive to work? I'm sure a good number of you are alone. So before you get in the car in the morning at 7:30 or 8 or 6:30, whenever it is, already have decided what you're going to do in the car before you get in. Don't wait and just do it with a whim. If you're pursuing something in the Lord, have some teaching tapes. Pick up the CDs that are addressing the thing that you want to grow up in you and listen to them on your way to work. Or have your station already preset to the worship station so that when you turn on the radio, you don't have the wrong driver on. Go ahead and put the right driver on, the one you intend to drive to work with, and have him ready for you when you get in. Don't fall for the trick. And this is one of the biggest tricks the enemy uses on us. Don't fall for the trick that if it isn't pure Bible scripture, it isn't good enough. That is a lie from hell. You open a good book, and I will tell you, I have had some of the most meaningful experiences of my life reading fiction. You find an author who is a hidden Christian, and they write a book about things that are going on inside a person's mind and body, and it's wrapped subtly. They're driving you toward God, but you don't necessarily know that's what they're doing. And they get you thinking about things you would never have thought about, and then you offer those to the Lord. Okay, so maybe you came home, you're a morning person, and you want to do something that puts you in the path, but you are not going to be able to bring out your Bible and read. So pick up something light that takes you there to the path and read it. Fox Channel movies, or rather Fox Faith movies, have a plethora of movies that are faith-based. But they're fun. You can have popcorn with them. And it takes you to a path where God can talk to you and impact and change your life. Now, don't get me wrong. You need scripture. You need the Bible. You need the Word. But it doesn't have to always be just that. There's so many different avenues that the Holy Spirit uses to touch our lives, and we want to be open to them, so that we can cooperate with who we are in our natural body rhythms and go to the path. How many of you have ever looked at My Utmost for My Highest? That is a fabulous 5 minutes of changing direction. You open it up, you read it, it's got a little bit of scripture and then a little bit of application, and it's something you can take with you. It's like a snack, like a Bible snack, you know. That was tasty. And you could kind of ruminate on it during the day. Now, these are things that I know are really, really simple. But over the course of a day, the course of a week, the course of a month, the course of a year, they put you smack dab in the middle of the path and you are getting the swan makeover. The outside and the inside. So that you really are growing from splendor to splendor. I love that scripture, the last one that we read in 2 Corinthians. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is Spirit. That's what I want, to be continually changing into someone that looks like Him, sounds like Him, communicates like Him. So our job is to put ourselves in the path, and it's His job to do the transforming. It's that simple. Simple. Guys, stand up. Let's pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We appreciate so much the way you love us, the way you're willing to work with us, the way you're willing to be in relationship with us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a friend who knows everything about us and loves us still. Your willingness to help us find the path, get on the path, and run into you on a regular basis throughout our day. We ask you to help us change our focus and to help us see the path that works best for each one of us. And as we continue to look at your word, we desire to be like the one looking in the mirror, seeing a transformation from splendor to splendor in your likeness. And we welcome that in our lives. And it's in your name that we pray, Jesus. Amen. Mike.